Thank you for checking out the City Church podcast today. Our prayer is that this message stirs your affection for Jesus Christ. City Church exists to lead people far from God into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we hope that you can take one step closer in your relationship with Christ. Wherever you are listening from, we hope you enjoy today's message.
So I watched some Instagram stories that you guys took of me last week, and I was like, I am all over the place, like hands waving, flailing. And so I was like, this time I'm going to sit just to change it up a little bit. You guys cool with that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm also going to steal this too. Ooh. So I have something to sit down. Well, this is totally unexpected. It's a good unexpectation. We were talking about this particular Sunday. We're like, everyone's going to be out of town. No one's going to be here. And so let's just set out a few chairs, and then hopefully it won't look empty. And what? So I'll worship. You guys are like, Jesus. And I'm like, Lord, bring me chairs. And so it was definitely interesting. Well, I'm excited today. We are going to continue the series that we've been going over called Handmade. And it's really just a dumbed-down version explanation. It's really, we've been looking over the characteristics of God that we normally tend to overlook, which are like the artistic characteristics, like the beauty of God and the creativity of God and the imagination of God and those things. So we think it's important to look at the character of God, because we believe the more we look at God, the more it begins to develop and change who we are, right? Does that sound about right? Am I wrong in that? Okay. I'm still waiting for the one day it's going to be like, heretic. It'll probably be Michael. It'll probably be the one that says it. I don't even know how to work this stand, so his grace is sufficient. I'm going to open my notes real quick. So we're going to continue on this, and today I want to talk about the characteristic of God, his uniqueness, and how he's kind of like no other, and how those things come through and what that looks like for us. And so the scriptures we're going to be in today, I'm just going to give you a heads up. The scripture we're looking at is going to be in Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 20. It's basically the Last Supper. You guys know what the Last Supper is? All right, so there's this famous painting, The Last Supper, right? And there's this dad joke that I heard. I forgot who it was. One of the Rices, I think. Or somebody said it. Yeah, it was probably one of the Rices. He says, so Jesus made a reservation at the restaurant for 26 people. When he got there, he's like, but there's only 13. He's like, no, we all sit on one side. And so that was a funny joke. I had to, yeah, that was definitely a Rice joke. And so I thought that was pretty funny, because the famous painting. So it's a painting I'm pretty sure everybody in here's seen and recognized. And the cool thing about it, it's a very unique painting, right? It's very unique. There's not anything else like it. Now, I'm an artist, sort of. I didn't take art theory. I don't know all the details of what makes a piece of artwork unique. But I have learned a few things along the way, and I'm going to explain a story, and you'll pick up on this. So I don't know exactly what makes The Last Supper, that thing, why that makes it so unique. But I did see a documentary about this artist, and he's out of LA, and he was just starting to get art. He followed like Banksy around. He was a video guy, and he's like, I want to do art. So he poured a bunch of money into buying this building and doing art galleries. Like, I'm going to do a big show. But his artwork was computer generated. So he would make pop art, kind of like Warhol style, like any Warhol. So he would take like photos of like famous pictures of Madonna's face in like different colors, and he would print them out, and that was his artwork, which is legit. I give it to you. Like, you got to work the computer, you know, a certain way to get those kind of things. But then he wanted to open this art show, and he wanted to do it big. So he wanted tons of people, and all the famous people out in LA to come. He wanted just groups of massive people. So he put the word out. He's going to give away 100, I think it was 100 or 150 original works of art to the first people to walk through the door, right? Which is a pretty cool deal. It's like, that's good marketing. And so in this documentary, he's talking about, you know, he's like, how do I do this? And so he takes the same image. I think it was the same image on paper. This is how he does it. He takes a picture, a print of his artwork. He lays out 100 of them, right? Just stacks and rows. And he goes by them with different color paints, just splattering them, right? It is cool. But man, if you were to tell me I got an original artwork and then I watched this documentary, being like, that's what it means? Like, he just splattered paint on a picture? To me, I don't know if you guys felt it, but that didn't seem unique, right? Am I the only one here? It's like, no, that's totally unique. Okay, thank you. Like, I felt, if I was a person who got that, I'd be like, yeah, I got duped, right? Because this guy, and then I watched the doctor, literally saw him do this, and I'd be like, yeah, I got duped. And so a lot of times when it comes to religion, and this is where we're going to kind of tie it in, a lot of times when it comes to spirituality, sometimes we feel like we get duped, right? So there's this common concept in the world, and, you know, we live in America and we live in this modern age, and I've heard this said before, but everyone assumes that all religions, all these kind of religious world beliefs, they're all fundamentally the same, right? But they're only superficially different. There's like a few little superficial things here and there that really divide all these different religions up. And that's actually completely backwards. They're actually all superficially the same, but they're fundamentally different, right? Because they're super, the, you know, the common ethic of love, right? Love is the common virtue of them all. Like, love is the greatest ethic. That's the superficialness. But they all are different between origin, destiny, morality, ethics, you know, salvation, sin, forgiveness. All these things are different in each religion. So they're not actually the same. They're fundamentally different. They're just superficially the same. And so I want to talk a little bit about that because we live in a culture where we really don't know exactly how to define these things and what makes Christ unique out of all the others. Like, what makes this God different than all the other ones? You guys feeling with me? And so there's so many things that I can go into, and I love teaching. So I'm just going to hit on the very simplest one. And so there's one scripture I want to bring up, and you don't have to look at it or anything like that. It's just John 14:6. It's a really cool scripture. It's pretty famous. It's not a coffee mug one, but it's pretty famous. It's where Jesus says, I am the truth, the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which is a very unique statement because he's basically saying this is exclusivity. This is the only way. Not only is this the truth, I am the truth, right? Not only is there multiple ways, I am the only way. I am, this is the truth. And so that is so not cool for this day and age, right? I mean, like, I spend a lot of time in this community, and most of my friends aren't Christians because just people I surround myself with, and I get that question all the time. It's like, well, why Jesus? And so I'm constantly thinking, like, you know what, why Jesus? What makes this God unique compared to all the other things, right? There's so many different things. And so I wanted to look at this one because he says that he's the way, the truth, life. So I want to look at one clip, one out of the entire Bible. I want to look at one thing. But before we get there, we'll just talk about it. Actually, I want to read it. Let's just go and read. This is the small clip. It's like a snippet out of all the scriptures. It's the Last Supper, the thing I was talking about. And so I'm going to turn to Luke. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there too, it's Luke chapter 22. We're going to do verse 14 through 20, real short. I know last week I rocked you guys with some word. I read like 40 verses straight in one breath. No, I took my time, and I was trying to witness to y'all through just the power of reading. So I want to read this scripture, and this is just the Last Supper. And just read it with me, and just kind of, I know we don't have a screen for you to follow along, so just be in the moment. I'm just going to give a little prerequisite what's happening here. So it's Passover, and so for Jews, like, it's Passover time. They celebrate what God has done for the Israelites through the Exodus and stuff like that. So they're having Passover dinner, and Jesus gathers all the disciples, like, we're going to celebrate Passover. And so as they're sitting celebrating Passover, this is what happens. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink of it again. I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to him and said, This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. And a lot of the synoptic gospels says different ways, and one of them says this is poured out for the forgiveness of many, right? So the forgiveness. So he's really saying some profound things at the Passover, because the Passover is to celebrate with these, and these guys, they're disciples, like, they grew up, they're Jewish, they know what's going on at Passover, right? They're not ignorant to those things. They know that what they're celebrating, each piece of the meal celebrates and is specifically geared to remind the people of God what God did for them in the past. And so they are very in tune to what's happening. But here comes Jesus, and he's basically saying, I'm going to break the bread, and this is my body, right, that is going to be broken for you. We're going to drink the cup. This is my blood that will be poured out for your forgiveness. This is really weird. This is very exclusive stuff, right? So if we were in a seeker-friendly church, this is not what you would tell people, right? You would be like, no, it doesn't work that way. This is very exclusive. saying these are very predominant. There's something, what I'm trying to say is there's something very special happening here. And just the simplest, and I know, like, I did research on it, there's so many cool things in this scripture right at this time. There's so many little tidbits and symbolism in what God's doing. I really wanted to take this, and today was supposed to be just a quick, short day, so I just want to take it and make it as simple as possible, right? Just the simplest out of all the cool Da Vinci Code things you can look at, right? I probably shouldn't mention Da Vinci Code from the stage. Father, forgive me. So all those cool things, the simplest thing is Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And then he says, no one gets to the Father except through me. But then he sits down at a table and he breaks this bread, right? He says, this is my body, right? And he has this cup and he goes, this is my blood. There's only one way to get to the Father, and it's through my body, through my blood. But do you see what he said? He breaks the bread. And he talks about the wine being, his blood poured out. The only way to get to the Father is through this meal. Not that it saves you, but through the symbolism, he's saying you can only get to the Father if I suffer. If I do this. Like, this is the only way. Now, this is what makes it exclusive to all other beliefs out there and all other religions. And I love world religions and worldviews, and I love this. But this is something so unique. Because he's basically saying, whatever you do to try to earn your place at the table, I'm doing it way before you could even touch it. I'm going to break the bread. I'm going to pour out the blood. And that's for you. So you can't do anything to do this. I'm going to do this. And so he is the way. And the reason why that's so abrasive to us is like, well, I feel like there should be multiple ways. But if there are multiple ways, him breaking and coming to you wouldn't mean anything. Because sometimes we always want to work for it. We want to get there. We want to get to heaven. And he's saying, no, stop. I'm going to do this. All you have to do is sit at the table. Right? And so this is what it changes for us. Because we're now, in our modern time. And so this is technically, it's called the last meal, right? This is like the first one. Because this repeats over and over again. So in Corinthians, he says, as often as you do this and remember it to me. And so just an early church thing, this is what they did. They would take communion as a meal. It was called the love feast or the agape feast, right? And so I was excited about today because this is one of the closest examples of what they did, 1900 years ago in the first century. This is what they did. They sung some songs. Some guy stood up here and was like, hey, this is what, this is what we see in the scriptures. And then they ate a meal, right? And here's the cool, unique thing about this is in the first century, everyone was like, this is a crazy cult because they don't have a temple. They don't have the rituals. They don't have all these things they do. They don't have these open air, things, these big or things with the robes. And they don't have any of this stuff. They're just like meeting in people's houses. This is weird. Anybody can go. They place the table and you just show up. And when you show up to that table and you eat with them, you're basically saying, I'm one of you. I believe in what you believe. This body is the only way I'm going to get through. This blood, this is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And that's what connected to them. And that's why we have the scripture where God is calling out every tribe, tongue, and nation. Because it's not for any people group. It's not for any social class. It's for everybody. It's like us. So we have everyone in here, everyone from all different areas of life, and we get to come together. Like, this is why it's unique. We come together not built on ideas or rituals. We come together because we're united in a person, right? And a person who can't die, a person that's forever living. And so this is what this is. And it's just simple. Just this wasn't supposed to be a crazy thing. I just wanted to share my heart. I mean, this is what the early church did, right? This is so old, and we're just doing it. The same way they did, and it's a wonderful thing. Isn't that cool? So I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to sing one more song, just kind of reflect on that, because I really dig this, like, singing with everybody, right? You guys cool with this? Like, it's acoustic, but everyone's in here. Everybody has found a chair. Thank God. I was so worried about that. So I'm going to pray, and the worship team's going to come up. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
Sorry I didn't yell more, guys. I just might as well apologize. I knew I was going to get up here and be like, fire and brimstone. And I let y'all down. Jesus loves y'all. That's all I got. Is that cool? God, I just want to thank you for today. What a unique person that you are, unique ways that you have, and what a unique time we get together. It isn't like everyday Sunday church, right? And it's not every day that we get a chance to just come together, sing songs this low-key with a group of people, run out of chairs. God, I just thank you that you've set this particular day up for us to be the church without everything in the way, without having to see, you know, without having all the smooth, comfortable transition, all the, we got to be the church. This is a very unique Sunday, God, and I thank you for what you did today and what you're going to do today, God. And I ask you just to move in the hearts of people, really get them to see how awesome and organic and beautiful you are and how you bring people together of everybody. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. And we pray, amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope that you are encouraged and strengthened in your faith. For more messages from this series or other series, please visit us online at citychurchalbany.com. If you have been impacted by the message or ministry of City Church, please send us an email at info@citychurchalbany.com. We would love to hear your story. If you would like to partner with us financially, please visit us at citychurchalbany.com/giving. We hope that you have a blessed week.